Truly, the Lord is good. Hallelujah. God is good, somebody. Amen. God is good. Yes, 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 He is. Yes, He is. How excellent is Thy name, O Lord. Amen. Amen. Truly, God is good. I'm telling you, I'm really excited today, excited to be here today. Do y'all love this church? Don't we love this church? Don't we love People's Community Church? Amen. Amen. Truly, God is good. And I count it a privilege and an honor to stand before you today. And I'm giving honor to God and thankful for Reverend Shannon. He say Jerutha all the time, and he messes me up. Nobody can say that. You always say Druther or something, but he nails it every time. So, Pastor Shannon, God bless you, and thank you so much. To First Lady Evelyn, God bless you. Thank you for being here. To the ministers, God bless you. And to my wife, God bless you, Sister Yvonne. And to everybody in the body of Christ, I give God reverence for your presence being here today. We're going to go to our foundational scripture. I'm going to ask if you can stand for the reading of this foundational scripture that's found in the book of Matthew chapter 13, which was read in its entirety during our scripture and prayer this morning from verses 18 through verse 23. But I want to call your attention to verse 19. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. And it reads, "When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path." You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. I want to use for a title today simply, "Are you getting this? Are you getting this?" Let me continue on with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I honor your holy name this morning. Father, I lift you up and magnify and glorify your holy name. Lord, you're worthy of the glory. You're worthy of all the honor. And Lord God, you're worthy of all the praise. I pray, Father, that you forgive me of every sin, that you would cleanse me and wash me in the blood of Jesus. Now, Father, by faith, I believe that I'm already forgiven. And I am cleansed and I am clothed in the righteousness of Christ. God, speak through me today that your name might be glorified, that we all may be edified. Father, I believe by faith that it's already done. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen. 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 When the Lord had given me this message, originally he gave it to me with the young people in mind. And I hope you all bear with me for a minute today. Truly, God is good. And if you don't know it, I used to be a young man. I did. Yeah, I know. So there's something that I really want to reach out to the young folk today and to some other folk, particularly young folk. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. All right, very good. And there's a reason for this today, because we don't realize or don't pay attention to how important it is for us to get the Word of God. And so I want to ask you a question today. My question simply is it even possible to love God and not love His Word? Is it even possible to love God and not love His Word? I mean, we cry to the Lord, "Lord, I love you, God, I love you. I love you, Jesus." We sing the song, "I love you, Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus." It isn't even possible to have that kind of love for God, but don't have that same kind of love for His Word. And so I want to challenge and encourage the young people today. And all of this is edifying because I'm telling you, I was there. And my, when I was in church, they used to reach over and just pinch me. I don't know if y'all remember that. I was clowning in church. They just reached over, didn't say a word. And then sometimes they just looked at me. But there was a reason why they were doing that, because the word of God was going forth. They wanted me to pay attention to the word. They knew that the word, if it took root in my life, that it was going to produce the character, the man of God that God wanted me to be. And they knew that the enemy, the distractor, was out there, and he was running throughout the church trying to keep me from getting the word. And some of the things that, now, y'all look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, everybody, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And as I say that I love you all so much, and I know my parents love me, although they pinch me, they still love me. So I'm going to do a little spiritual pinching this morning. Or is it pension? I don't know. I don't know anymore. I mean, I didn't learn that. Depending on where you're from. So, all right. So I'm going to do a little spiritual pension this morning. It might hurt a little bit, but you know I love you, right? It might hurt a little bit. And it starts with this, you all. And hopefully we can develop this type of culture when we come in the house of the Lord. As a matter of fact, Jesus kicked out of folk because they were doing all kind of things in the house of the Lord. And he says, my house should be called a house of prayer. And so everything can't go on, you all, like it's nothing, like it's nothing, like it doesn't mean anything. What am I talking about? I'm talking about, first of all, and I'm going to pinch you right now, If you have a phone, please either put it on vibrate or put it on airplane mode. All right? Okay, because see, the enemy is waiting for you to update your Facebook status while the word is going forth. The enemy is waiting. He's like, waiting. And then by the time service is over, you say, what did the pastor say? All they said, man, that was sure enough a good service. He preached today. What did he preach on? I don't know, but my Facebook status is updated. And it don't say nothing about the preacher. So I'm going to do a little spiritual pension here, you all. And so as we look at our scripture text, and we find out in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is on a boat. And he's sitting on the boat, and on the shore, the seashore, there's a crowd of folks that gathered to him. And Jesus began to speak a parable of the seed and the sower. And he began to talk about this in Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 1, but I'm not going to go through all of that. But as he was sitting in the boat and a whole crowd was around him, he began to talk about this parable. And he told them many things in parables that they may get it, that they may understand it. As the word is going forth today, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. The devil is a liar. Somebody's going to get this, okay? Somebody's going to get this. And as Jesus was trying to tell them about the importance of the word of God, in other words, they should love the word of God just like they love him. Just like they love him. Why? Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So what's the difference between the word of God and Jesus? Nothing. So if we love Jesus the way we say we love him, then we should love his word just like we do him. Amen. Sound like a broken record, don't it? It's okay. All right, so as we talk about this parable, the seed and the sower, Jesus began to explain the parable starting at verse 18. He says, you listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown into the heart. The evil one comes to distract you from getting the word of God. The evil one comes to make sure that the word doesn't take root and doesn't produce. And if we're not aware, first of all, somebody don't even believe that there's an evil one. If Jesus says that there's an evil one, guess what? There's an evil one. And so we have to be aware of the evil one. So Jesus then, he talks about the four different responses of the good news of the gospel that each one of us all can respond in their hearts. The good news is the word of God. So Jesus showed, he talks about the farmer went out to sow the seed of the word. And trust me, it is only the word of God that's going to make a difference. It's only the word of God that's going to set free. It's only the word of God that's going to deliver us. And this is important to listen. So Jesus gave the interpretation of verse 4, the hard heart. In verse 19, he talks about it. He says, as he was sowing, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them. Jesus explained it this way. When one hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and takes it away, is not sown into his heart. Now, he was given an illustration because in the time of Palestine, there was a pavement, somebody called it the pathway, that people would begin to walk on this pathway. Originally, the pathway was made for the soil, for the seed. So as they walked around, the pathway became very, very hard. And as they began to throw the seeds there, it would not take root because the ground was too hard. Now, Jesus is saying when people hear the word of God or hear the gospel message being preached, and when they hear the love of Jesus and the cross and the heart is like the hard ground, nothing happens. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. The word of God doesn't faze me. The word of God means nothing to me. The heart is so hard, it can't penetrate it, which means that there is willful rejection. Willful rejection. I know y'all looking at me, right? Y'all still looking at me, right? Willful rejection, because the word of God is going forth and the ground of the heart is so hard, it can't penetrate, and they say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And this kind is really dangerous because the person becomes unresponsive to the word of God. Unresponsive to Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Unresponsive to his command for your life. Unresponsive to what he is saying. And Lord knows you all can be unresponsive to the preacher. If we don't jump ahead and kick the devil out who's trying to get you all distracted from getting this word. So what we're doing, we're cultivating the ground. We're cultivating the ground. We're changing the soil. We're making it so that now the heart is not that heart. Now the word can go down. See, now the Facebook status I'm not worried about. I'm not worried about my Twitter being updated. I'm not worried about my phone ringing. You know, that happened to me one day. I was in church. I heard something go, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I'm like, who is that? Do-do-do-do. Like, who got their phone? It was me. My phone was on and ringing. But, you know, we do our best, right? We do our best. And sometimes we may forget to turn it off. But, you know, we're paying attention. We want this word. We want what God has to give us. Let's move on. So what that means is, again, there is not only is there rejection, unresponsiveness, but there's all kinds of other things that has clouded us. And we're going to get to that in a minute. Let's move on to the next one. And that was the one that fell by the wayside. The word of God is snatched. Second is the shallow heart. We dealt with the hard heart, the shallow heart. Jesus gave the interpretation of verse 20 of verse 5. Others fell on rocky ground, and there wasn't much soil, and they sprang up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. And then it says, but when the sun came and scorched it, since it had no root, it withered away. And Jesus explains it like this: he that receives the seed in the stony place, the same as he that hears the word and rejoices when he hears it, receives it with gladness, yet it has no root in himself. It continues for a while, but when tribulation and trouble comes because of the word, he is offended. What is that? Many of us make emotional responses, and the emotional responses to the word of God doesn't really hit our intellect. It doesn't take root within us. We hear the word, preach out. What did he preach? I don't know. Some of us write down and take good notes. Some of us remember what the word of God is saying to us. Some of us are excited and we want it. Just like, what's my brother's name? Brother Rennell. God bless you. Want the word. He want it. He want it. But this is not him. Because he receives it. The person here receives it. They're glad about it. And a few minutes later, they've forgotten all about the word. Because persecution comes. They can't stand on anything. It's like being sown on the stony ground. The stony ground back in Palestine only had just a little bit of soil on top of the rock. And it had nothing. It didn't take root, so there was no death. So a little bitty thing just flew up. And then when the sun came out, scorched it, died. Gone. We need the nourishment of the word of God to have a shallow heart. A shallow heart is not cultivated. A shallow heart doesn't want all the things that God has. A shallow heart only wants a temporary word. A temporary word. Many of us have gone to church and the altar call went forth and we raised our hand and came down and gave our life to the Lord, and then we don't see you no more. It's a shallow heart. The shallow heart, that heart has no real commitment. That shallow heart is glad in the beginning, but doesn't really realize or understand the price that is going to be paid to be a Christian. Yes, I'll come down. Yes, I'll join the church. Yes, I'll do this. Okay, so you mean you want me to work? You mean you want me to do some stuff? And then they say something like, oh, I heard you joined church the other day, and I heard you came down and gave your life to Christ. Oh, that. Oh, you mean that? Oh, that. Oh, yeah, well, you know. The shallow heart is also a dangerous heart. It responds with joy. But there's no root. There's no real commitment, as I mentioned. It's superficial. It's a show. Uh-huh. You ever see people do things for a show? Yeah. It's a show. It's a show without the anointing. Let's move on. Jesus interprets a verse 7 and verse 22, which is the crowded heart. Stay with me, y'all. Stay with me now. Stay with me. Y'all looking at me still, right? I didn't see anyone on the phone. Hallelujah. Now, the crowded heart, Jesus explains that He that receives the seed among the thorns, and he hears the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, chokes it out. It becomes unfruitful. It is full of thorns. It's like throwing a seed on a ground full of weeds. The weeds will come up with the seed, and then the weeds will choke it. And it won't grow at all. This is a crowded heart. This heart is crowded with all kinds of worldly things. It is a divided heart that is divided between the things of God and the things of the world. And we used to call it straddling the fence back in the day. One foot on this side, one foot on the other side. That's a crowded heart. And that's why when church service is going on Super Bowl Sunday, we don't see a lot of folk in church because it gets crowded out. Everybody wants to go to the Super Bowl or watch the Super Bowl game. The things of God are not that important. The word of God is not that important because it has to share God with the world in a way that the world takes precedent over the things of God and the word of God. I know this is kind of a different message for me than I'm usually up here speaking of, but my heart is really heavy when I see that the young folk particularly are being distracted as the word of God is going forth. It is as God himself is speaking to you. And we willingly allow the enemy to come and snatch the word from us as if, watch this, Jesus never said it. It's like he never said it. He never said it. But again, my heart is heavy because I know that the enemy has been served notice today, and that God's word will go forth and it's going to penetrate your heart. It's going to start producing in you men of God, women of God that God so desire. Somebody clap your hands for Jesus. The devil has been served notice today. No more distractions. I want the word. No more playing around. I want the word. No more playing church. I want the word. I want the word for real. And I want all of God. I want all of him. The seed, which is the word of God, is so important. We have to love it just like we love Jesus. Which means now, if someone trying to take it away from me, I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to protect the seed. I am going to protect the seed that is sown into my heart because I know it's going to be helpful. It's going to be edifying. It's going to produce. And guess what? God will be glorified. Can you imagine? Can you imagine on your own without any pinching from me? You go to come to church and folk want to find out where are you on Twitter. They're sending you all these messages and you get home where you're going. You say, man, I tried to get you on Twitter. You wasn't on Facebook. Your phone went, what's going on? I turned it off. On your own, you did this. On your own, you focus on getting the word. You focus on, listen, the word of God is just, it's not only for you. You may hear something that's going to help somebody who's going through some tough times in their lives. You might hear a word from the Lord that will encourage someone else. And when you can take that word to them and say, Pastor said that be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Take on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Somebody clap your hands for Jesus. This is serious, serious business. The word of God is precious. The word of God is precious to me. I love God. The word like I love God himself. And no devil in hell is going to snatch my word. Where's your word at? Oh, man, the devil took that this morning. No devil in hell should be able to take your word from you. And we have to be on alert. We have to be mindful. We have to be ready when distractions come. And sometimes we're going to forget, right? We're going to forget. We're going to come in. We're going to forget. We're going to hear that. We're going to see that beep right there. So-and-so want me. I was like, you know what? Flip it over. Flip it over. And you're going to get to doing this on a regular basis, and now you're going to be running to church to get the word. Running. And as I get to the final point of this, which is the fruitful heart. And I know many have taught on this passage and going into some great detail studies about it. It can get very, very deep. But I want to just stay where I am now because, again, I'm focused on you. And as we look at this final heart, the last of the four, Jesus gives the interpretation of verse 8 and verse 23. Still others fell on good ground and produced crops. The King James says 30, 60, 100 fold. It's actually 30, 60, 100 times what you have sown. It produces. And he says, listen. So my question is, are you getting this? Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Are you understanding the importance of the word of God? Are you understanding that the enemy is going to come to distract you? Are you understanding that it is your responsibility to protect the seed of the word? Are you getting this? This is what I meant when I was talking about Brother Ronell. I hope I'm saying that right. Ronell. Is that heart that produces, and he's given testimonies of what the word is doing for him. Hallelujah. Brother Iron, the same thing. Testimonies is what he's doing, what the Lord is doing for you. Because he loves the word. Young folk loving the word. Young folk running for the word. Hallelujah. This word here, this is a clean soil. It's the prepared heart. Why? Because God prepared it. God prepared it. The word takes root. It's deep, it flourishes, it changes, it produces, it has nutrients, and this kind of word don't just bounce off. This word never dies. This word is not an emotional response. This word is not destroyed by completing desires and other influences. This is the word that takes root. This word produces character. Change, adaptation, change in who you are as a person, deep rooted, and it produces the fruit. What fruit? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit. As the word penetrates your heart, it changes to produce love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. All of that is the fruit of the word. You don't talk back to grown folks no more when you got that word rooted down on the inside of you. You can take a little pinching once you got the word down on the inside of you. You can come to Sunday school once you have that desire for the word down on the inside of you. You can come to Bible class once you have that desire for the word of God on the inside of you. It produces love for your neighbor. It gives you joy when things are not going your way. It gives you peace
that surpasses all understanding. It gives you the meekness and long suffering. Only through the word are we going to be changed and edified. And if the enemy won't let you get it, you're going to be in the state that you're in for the rest of your life. And that is not the will of God. God loves you. And he is the one that is sowing the seed. God is. He's the farmer. He's sowing a seed to you. As I get ready to wrap this up, God is sowing a seed in your own life. Rest on your feet as I get ready to wrap this up. Everybody stand. I'm trying to be nice. Rest on your feet. Everybody rest on your feet. So listen, the first thing you want to do is grab a hold of this recording if it's being recorded. Because I'm going to give you a few scriptures and then we're going to have Pastor come up and close us out. I'm going to give you a few scriptures that talks about the importance of the word of God. Listen, and y'all still looking at me. I got 30 seconds. Listen. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. The word of God is living and effective, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of the soul, the spirits, the joints, the marrows, and is able to judge the ideas and the thoughts of your heart. The word of God have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, Lord. The word of God, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall stand forever. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The grass withers, the flowers fail, but the word of God shall endure it forever. Therefore, if anyone hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, he is like a wise man that builds his house on a rock. Are you getting this? So I close with this last verse. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Give God praise, somebody.